This is the Mason Vera Payne Show, your go-to lifestyle program, covering everything from technology and gaming to movies, TV shows, and pop culture to the supernatural and beyond. Brought to you by WGNRadio.com with your host, the unabridged millennial, Mason Vera Payne.
Mason Payne here live from the NVP studios in Chicago, and thank you for tuning in. Google Trends expert Justin Brewer is going to join me to break down the top five search trends on Google this week. Thanks for joining me, Justin.
Hey, thanks for having me.
All right, so for this week, what we get for number five?
Number five, we've got something called Tudder, T-U-D-D-E-R, and yeah, you might think that that sounds a little bit similar to Tinder, the dating app, because it is, but it's for cows, and it's Tinder for cattle. So essentially, it is an app out there for farmers to look through different livestock, specifically cows, and figure out if they want to buy them or if they're a good mate for their animal for breeding purposes. I don't know. It's totally outrageous. Apparently, they've got it's only in the UK right now, and they've got like 43,000 farms represented with animals from each of those farms on this app. And apparently it's the first ever matchmaking app for livestock. So it's kind of outrageous. I think it's really funny. It's also funny because it launched this week right in time for Valentine's Day. So they're like, hey, humans aren't the only ones finding love. Like, find love for your cow. I don't know, for your radio.
Will they advance to, like, other animals, such as horses, or no?
Yeah, that's a good point. You know, I don't know. I would assume so. If they're smart, business-savvy individuals, they will expand their app to other species, I'm sure. But I don't know, man. It's pretty funny. It's also, like, I don't know. I'm not a farmer, so I don't really understand how these things work. But I feel like this serves a pretty specific need. Like, you're probably like, hey, I need to mate this cow with another cow, but I want it to be a good cow. I mean, head over to Tudder, start swiping.
I don't know why people would make that. I would see more money for horses than for cows, but apparently this was, you know, I don't have the pulse of the street. This is where the money's at, cows.
Exactly. I feel like with horses, maybe it's a little bit more of a rigorous process, like you need to know a little bit more. But maybe with cows, it's kind of like, okay, that cow looks like it can, you know, produce a good amount of milk. Let's give it a swipe. But I feel like with horses, there's so much more science involved because they're, well, I'm thinking like race horses, you know? I mean, some racehorse sperm, it's like $200,000 for some of that stuff.
Ah, that's true. That's true.
We're also coming up with a good idea right now, and we can start, you know, some sort of horse dating app.
People would think it was a real person app because we'd call it just like a stud finder.
Yeah, exactly. Come find your trusty steed. And they're like, wait, is that for manly men or are you selling us horses?
What we get for number four?
We got the black leopard. So this elusive little kitty was spotted in Kenya. And apparently that hasn't happened, at least photograph-wise, since 1909. And it's gorgeous. The photos are amazing. If you haven't seen them, head over to Google and search for it. And it's such a majestic creature. But it was photographed by this Nick Pilfold. He's a global conservation scientist from the San Diego Zoo. And he set up these cameras, got footage of it. Everybody was stoked. But there's been a little bit of a pushback because a lot of people are like, yo, first off, it's not the first cat we've seen in 100 years that's like this. So relax. And then other people are pushing back like, yo, we actually have photographs of this, of a similar cat in the same region from 2013, but it's actually unclear if that photo is what they think it is. And then some people took to Twitter and they're like, hey, look at this. A white man comes into Kenya and finds a black leopard and the media freaks out when in actuality, we as Kenyans and people that live in this region see these cats all the time. So, like, these headlines are super inaccurate, so some people were a little bit mad about it. But regardless, we can all agree that the photo is cool, despite if they're the first ones in 100 years or not.
That is a bit weird. You would think with technology, people would be snapping away at things. I mean, I take pictures of slugs on the sidewalk. I think that's new to me.
That's cool. Yeah, I bet. I'd like to see some of those. Those are probably just as good as these black leopard photos. Wait, do you know why the black leopard's black?
No, why?
Oh, I'll tell you. Well, there's a gene mutation they have called melanism, and it causes the cat to produce a lot of melanin, which is this dark pigment, and it expresses itself as black in the fur. And similarly, an albino cat, in contrast, carries a mutation that inhibits the melanin expression. So that's interesting.
Oh, wait. Are black leopards the same as black panthers, or are black panthers different type of animal?
Okay. This is. I went down a little bit of a search rabbit hole last night, and there wasn't, I don't know, maybe I just wasn't searching in the right place, but when I was looking at up this trend, it was really difficult to find. As far as I know, they're different, but coverage seems to use them somewhat interchangeably. Like, half of the articles about this were like, hey, Black Panther was found. And then the other more reputable websites, though, seem to characterize it as a black leopard, like National Geographic and NPR and CNN. Like, they're calling it a black leopard. I think it's a black leopard. I think it has to do with regionally. I think they're generally the same cat, but just where they appear regionally. And I don't know. I'm pretty sure they're kind of the same, but there's a black leopard.
Or conspiracy theory, Disney had trademarked Black Panther, right, and now nobody can use it.
That's a good point, because of that, because of their movie, which is up for Best Picture.
Right. Don't want to confuse the two.
Yeah. Wow. We're really getting deep here.
Deep in the rabbit hole. What do we get for number three this week?
All right. We've got Hidden City, and it's not because we found some city that, you know, was hidden or anything, which is very exciting. But there's this thing called hidden city ticketing, and you may have heard of it in the past, where travelers will exploit some sort of a loophole in their flight path to make their flight cheaper. They get off at their layover, and that's the end of their trip. So say I'm flying to Chicago, I got a layover in Las Vegas. For some reason, it's cheaper for me to fly to Chicago than it would be for me to fly straight to Vegas. I get off at my layover, and everything's good and dandy. But the airlines hate this, obviously, because, one, they're not making as much money as they could, and, two, it probably messes with them because they're like, hey, where did this person go? They're not showing up for their flight, whatever. So it caused some issues. So the website Lufthansa, which I hope I'm saying this right, Lufthansa, yeah, they are suing a passenger, actually, because they did this. They skipped out on their last flight they're going from Seattle to Oslo with a layover in Frankfurt. They got out at Frankfurt. They're suing the airline passenger because the difference of the flight was $2,300. And the case was thrown out, but they're appealing it because it sounds like they just want to make an example out of this airline passenger to scare people in the future. They probably don't have any actual indication of going through with the suing, but they're making headlines and people are talking about it, so they're probably going to think twice before they do this again. It's interesting because it just feels like, I don't know, I've looked into this in the past, and it's always cheaper just to fly to the place than fly farther and get off at the layover. I don't know.
It depends. If you're lucky, my aunt likes to do that. She always travels from Chicago going to Seattle, and I'll be like, oh, how long did it take you? And she'll be like, oh, like 10 hours, and she's bouncing from this state to that state, going here to there, and I'm like, why did you go all the way to Texas to get to Seattle? And right. She does it to save money, and she also does it for the airline points and everything else. I don't know. There's a big system, apparently, that I know nothing about, and I would rather just pay the extra money to go straight there, but that's just me.
No, I feel it. I know. I always go. I always want to go direct as well. But I guess, like, I don't know. With this, it sounds like it's cheaper. So, like, some of the ports or airports that the people like to hop out on are not, like, a main hub. So it's always cheaper, I guess, to fly from, like, a big airport to another big airport. So if you have a layover at, like, a small airport, it probably would be more expensive for you to fly directly to that airport because there's not as many flights there. So I don't know. It's interesting. But apparently you can get sued. So maybe you don't do it if you have the option to in the future.
I don't know. If there isn't a law to stop you, I think that's fair game, isn't it? Shouldn't I have the choice to decide what to do with my money and my time? I don't know. It sounds like big corporations just are kind of upset about this.
Yeah. Yeah, it could be.
What we get for number two?
We've got Opportunity. And so that's the Mars rover. Good little guy who he discovered water on the red planets back in the day. And it's awesome because little Opportunity was only supposed to have a 3-month mission back in 2003, but the little robot, he just kept on trucking, And he went 15 years longer than the initial mission indicated, and it was awesome. But we said farewell to good old Opportunity this week. NASA sent one final radio signal this past Wednesday and did not receive a response. Apparently, last June, Opportunity went radio silent because there was a huge dust storm that like blocked out the sun for a while. So solar panels could not be charged, and it was sad. But he, you know, the little Opportunity, he did a good job, obviously. Found water and did good. So we're saying goodbye, but, you know, it was a good mission.
Will they be sending anything else out there like Opportunity? They have, right?
Yes. Yeah, so the Curiosity rover is out there right now. And then it sounds like they're also going to launch another Explorer type of thing, 2020. I guess Curiosity is the only one working out there right now, the only other rover, but another one going out in 2020, which is exciting. I mean, all this stuff is so cool, and it's always just so fun to listen to these different discoveries being made. I mean, they found water on Mars. I was like, yo, what's up? That's pretty sick. Maybe there's life. That's super cool.
Absolutely. You know what I was thinking? Why not send Curiosity to go fix the Opportunity? Or we can't do that.
Oh, that's true.
Right? Doesn't it have like
little robot pals?
Right?
Star Wars, like the droid, send R2-D2 out there, get them fixed up.
Yeah, absolutely. I don't see why they can't do that. No, there's probably a lot of reasons why they can't, but it still would have been cool if they're like, we're going to save Opportunity. We're sending Curiosity now.
Right. Yeah, hey, NASA, if you're listening, don't give up on Opportunity. Let Curiosity go and give it a help.
What we get for number one?
We've got the Grammys. That happened, 61st annual happened on Sunday. I gave it a peep. Normally I don't watch the award shows, but I was back home in San Diego just chilling on the couch with the fam. So gave it a watch, and it was cool. There was some stuff that was really awesome. Like, I thought Gaga was great. I think Cardi B is obviously always super entertaining. I thought the J-Lo thing, I understand why there's some sensitivities about her Motown kind of tribute, but I still thought, you know, what she did as a performer was phenomenal. But then there were some really stupid things. I really thought Travis Scott was atrocious. And I think his music is fine. Like, I listened to it. But him as a performer and what he did in that weird cage with everybody dancing on it was very bizarre. Maybe I just sound like an old person, but it's not music to me. And I'd like to see a little bit more music coming out of the Grammys. The biggest thing is, like, I don't know if you watch, but I get so much anxiety every time somebody wins and they're talking at the microphone. And you just know, it's like the next sentence, they're gonna put on that music and it's going to be uncomfortable. They need to figure something out, and they got to let these people talk, because every time they put the music on, it's so uncomfortable.
You know what it is, though? They're on a time schedule, and I absolutely understand that. Everything's on a time schedule when it comes to live programming, and these actors and musicians and artists, they all want to sit there and toot their own horn. And you know what? You can see the director, the producer, everybody in the backstage tapping their wrists saying, hey, time's up. Let's go. Just get them off the stage. I'm waiting for them just to get one of those big canes and just yank them off.
Right, just like grab them by the foot and just kind of, yeah, that would be pretty sweet. See, I mean, I get it.
And you know what? That would kill the anxiety, because then you're laughing, right?
That's true. Just like a trap door. It's like, oh, there they go, out of here.
It's like, oh, he had two more things to say, but not anymore.
Okay, I actually like that better. Yeah, because the slow music is just like, yeah, it's like, and then it keeps getting louder, and it's suspenseful, and I mean, and I'm not necessarily a super anxious person, so I bet it's causing anxiety in other folks as well, but man, feeling an unbelievable amount of anxiety every time somebody would talk. So, and I get it, they got live programming, but I don't know what the solution is, but maybe it's the trapdoor, because that'd be pretty sweet.
That trapdoor, that is the only solution, Justin.
Yes.
So what we get this week for YouTube?
Yeah, we got the Frozen 2 official teaser trailer. A little confused by this one, I will say. I didn't watch the original Frozen, so maybe this is just a little bit over my head, but I don't know what the heck was going on. You know, she's like, what, it's Elsa? She's like running through the ocean, then she runs through the forest, and she's using some powers, and then it's over. So I don't know. I guess it is a teaser. I was certainly teased. I have no idea what they're trying to accomplish with that. I felt like there was zero substance. So I'm going to go on record saying this week, I did not like the YouTube video. And that's a bold claim from me.
I will agree with you, Justin, and I had to fill in the blanks myself, even though I did watch only one time the first movie. Thankfully, my nephew and my niece, they didn't like Frozen, so I didn't have to suffer through it multiple times.
That's good.
But when I watched the trailer myself, I thought to my, where are we going here? I don't know what's happening. Yeah. So I made some things up. One of them was that Elsa was doing tryouts for the Avengers. She's developing her superpowers. She's going to rename herself Iceman or Frozone from Incredibles 2.
I like that.
Yeah. Her sister is now a ninja. Okay. So, well, she is. She climbed rocks and she's sword fighting. Right. I mean, what else can... They're not alluding to anything else. They're going to get a herd of elk now.
They're now elk folk.
Yes, exactly. Okay. Exactly. They're farmers. They're going to start using Tutter.
Yeah, they're going to start. Yeah, that was actually just a commercial for Tutter, cross-promotional branded content there. Yeah, I like your theories. That makes more sense.
Yeah, right? It makes a lot more sense. But I will say, I am curious, and I will watch this, because Demi Lovato did the song, sang the song for Let It Go. Will they have her back as the singing voice of Elsa, even after all her drug problems? This will be interesting. Usually Disney doesn't do it.
True.
So
that's true. Disney's pretty wholesome. You know, you dabble in some of the substance, they yank you.
Exactly.
Interesting. Yeah, I guess if that's the most exciting thing coming out of Frozen 2, then I don't know, maybe there's a bit of a problem.
Like, you're right, that is sad.
Are they going to use Demi Lovato or not? Yeah, I don't know. I didn't watch first. I also just, I don't know. The music, while catchy, is pretty annoying, in my opinion. Sorry to say, but the Let It Go song, I don't know. I just couldn't get on board.
Nah, neither could I, which is why I was so happy, again, that my nephew and niece, they're just not
that
into it.
Helpful.
Yeah, they're in Paw Patrol. They like that better. So I was like, yes.
Oh, man, I hear good things about Paw Patrol. I got to peep that.
Yeah, I watched it a couple times. It's not bad. It's a bunch of dogs, and I like dogs, so, okay.
Are they on patrol for something?
Oh, they all have different roles or something. One's a little cop. They got a bunch of other ones. I don't know, but they love it. And I put it on TV for them. I get to read my book and they get to watch their Paw Patrol. Boom.
Oh, that's cute. That's a win-win.
Absolutely. Well, thanks, Justin, for coming on. I appreciate you being here, man.
Hey, always a pleasure.
This has been the Mason Vera Payne Show. Thanks for listening. Can't wait to hear more? Subscribe, rate, and comment at masonverapaine.com. That's masonverapaine.com. Also, follow Mason on Facebook and Twitter at Mason Vera Payne. That's all one word. And don't forget to share the show with your friends.